Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Who it is? House of the Redeemed Servant.
Nobody's gonna miss you. The earth is in mourning. Your life is the issue. A rapist and murderer, a stealer of lands, and all of these sins by the white man's hands.
Hey man, I'm smiling now while I'm reading about us stomping out y'all infants, the Africans and the Arabs in it. This is what it's called recompense. We sentiments while we tucking in our children for their bedtime. I'm sorry, got a problem with it. Talk to the one who runs the bitch. Your annihilation is my people's salvation.
What is story?
I don't care whether you clap or not, but I'm saying to you.
We got next.
Hebrews are coming, coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah.
100,000, 44,000. We take this thing too serious, and you Gentiles better start running. That 144 not bluffing, you claim you wasn't responsible for those dozens of millions, but that's not optional. You stole our land and took us by billions and put us on the boat to the ceiling. I'm about to pop my top cause I'm feeling, hope that I'm worthy enough and I'm willing. He can put the sword on my hand and I'm killing. Blackjack dealer, I'm dealing. Ain't no member yet, and I hope you remember that. But I got a vest, untouchable, an Elliot Ness. We got a garment down to the foot, breastplate on the chest. With a girdle on, trying to help set the people that the Gentiles fronted on. As a matter of fact, they got a trap in the shop in the house like Home Alone.
That's right.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when I talk, salt, salt with the Hebrews. Just hold on, we going home.
Mashiach, Yahawashai, who is our Redeemer, who is our Deliverer, who is our Savior, who is our Commander, who is our General of the Nation of Israel, Yahshallah.
Hebrews are coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000.
Stay home, shall be overthrown. Their women fibers, they children dash headlong against the stones. By Shem Yahawashi, we provide his father's throne. So let your weak say I am strong. Gird up their loins, loins to put their armor on. Bloodshed, much bloodshed, billions falling dead for their pride. Destruction, cities painted red, and the man shall show no pity toward his neighbor. For the lack of bread, they enter captivity, our enemies shall be led. For the iniquities that they did, Yahweh runs like a plague, but instead he'll place a hedge around the chosen. With the name written in their foreheads, 144,000 men of war, one accord, bending bows and drawn swords.
Watch out, here they come, watch out, here they come. Like a spark, they shall run over walls, they shall jump on. Watch out, here they come, watch out, here they come. Like a spark, they shall run over walls, they shall jump on.
Watch out, here they come, watch out, here they come.
They coming, watch out, here they come, watch out, here they come. They coming, they coming.
Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming,
coming, coming.
Hebrews are coming, yeah.
100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000.
Hebrews are coming,
coming.
Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming,
coming, coming.
Hebrews are coming, yeah.
100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000. 100,000, 44,000.
God. That nigga better stand the hell up, man. They don't give a damn about you Negroes, man. But you wanna love every damn body, man. And everybody hates their goddamn guts.
This how we banging on Esau. Prophesied scriptures flaming on Esau. Friends ain't holding hands with no Esau. Repent, it ain't a chance for no Esau.
That sucks. I just did that whole montage. And my mic was on mute. That's the spirit. You should hear. Y'all should be here. Excellent. Y'all should be here. Since y'all ain't here, y'all missed out. Got to be in the spirit. Got to be in the spirit. Shalom and good evening once again. My phone was on mute. I didn't realize that my microphone was on mute, so my first 5 minutes of talking, whatever, just went not to nobody. Yeah, I guess I need to put people who might be, they might not be listening live now. They might come back and catch it later. Cool. Tonight's class, I do apologize again for the procrastinating late. Now that was totally my miscommunication and my bad. My apologies. And continue with the Friday night breakdowns we're trying to do, the basic Bible breakdowns we're trying to keep on Friday nights for, and this is for beginners, for new people, whoever's coming in, or even just a refresher for those who just need to get re-strengthened and what this is all about, what we're doing with that. And not necessarily an inner man class and dealing with interpersonal issues or interpersonal problems, what have you, but just the basic Bible breakdowns, basic Bible understanding. And the reason we have to do this is because, as we're going to find out from the scripture we're about to read, the Bible has been a mystery that's been hidden for ages and for generations. That the understanding of the Bible, the Most High had sealed it. The Most High had sealed it so that people really could not understand what the Bible's talking about. But then he did let us know that in the last days that The seals, if you read in Revelations, the seals will be broken. I mean, the understanding of the scriptures would now be opened up, but it would take a process of time. We go back and even look at the prophet Daniel. We know Daniel was during the Babylonian captivity, which was about 586 years before Christ. That's half a millennium before Christ even came on the scene. That the things that were revealed to Daniel, the Most High told Daniel that to write everything he saw down, but that the understanding wouldn't be given until the end. So there's a lot of things that even the prophets, that the disciples, a lot of righteous men, they went through and they experienced. They didn't understand what it was all about. They didn't understand what was going on, that it was going to be sealed and kept until the time of the end. And now we see the understanding is being opened as one of the revelations, one of the miracles of God. And I know a lot of people don't associate that miracle with what they've learned from TV or from media. That we're expecting if it's a miracle, I should be able to walk through walls. I should be able to walk on water. I should be able to read minds. I should be able to fly. I should be able to just touch somebody and like an X-Men mutant factor, I guess. And that's the miracles that we're expecting. Again, we get that from media, from TV, or what have, from comic books. But when we actually read the Bible, the miracle that the Hebrew Israelites are actually finding out that the Israelites is one of the biggest miracles that has ever happened. And that it was also recorded with, it's a metaphor with Christ's death. That the only sign that would be given would be that Christ would be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. And as we get into some of our classes and understand the prophecies that were given, that for us to go through the period of time from 1619, being the official start of the slave trade here in the Americas, until 1970, we had no clue that we were the Israelites. That from 1619 is when we first start being taught so-called Christianity, whether it be Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witnesses, that these different religions were forced upon us if we just came over on the slave ships. But the so-called discovery of the Americas, going all the way back to the 1400s, when we had the Spanish conquistadors or the Portuguese or the English pilgrims coming through, and under much duress, under the threat of bondage, slavery, torture, or what have you, we had a lot of so-called modern Christianity forced upon us also. But we never got the Bible. We never had a chance to actually read the Bible. And that understanding of the Bible really didn't start to open up until 1970, which coincides, 1969, which coincides with the lunar landing, that all that was prophesied in the Bible, these were milestones and markers for us to be able to see and know that the Bible really is real and that the prophecies of the Bible are true. So for us to be able to find out and even find out that were the Hebrew Israelites, when all the lies, all the deception has been given to us, all the false ideas, false dreams, false everything that has been force-fed to us, to actually now find out in the midst of the conspiracies of teaching science, the conspiracy of teaching physics, the conspiracy of teaching religion, the conspiracy of teaching money, that to keep the truth of our identity away from us, that's real. And again, that was all prophesied also. So being the time where we can actually go and now read the Bible, understand that the Bible is written to Hebrew Israelites, by Hebrew Israelites, for Hebrew Israelites. That is a miracle in itself that the world is trying to keep secret. The world is trying to keep hidden. So for us to be able to come back now and actually now figure out through the scriptures to find out what's the right path, the right way, the right understanding, what are the right choices that we need to make in order to be closer to God, in order to get God, to be able to now read his word, read the scriptures, actually read the Bible and get it from him and not from somebody's dream, not from somebody's intuition, not from somebody's superstition, but actually read it, actually open the book and read. These are the words of God, not from a tarot card, not from a palm reader, not from a horoscope, but actually opening the book and reading what the book says. Now, to help me understand or help explain some of all this, we're going to go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 26.
Colossians, chapter 1, verse 26. Even the mystery that
we start 25. I'm sorry, 25.
Boston number 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God given to me for you.
So it tells you God is the one who makes ministers, not a what do you call it, a theological school. God makes his ministers. God makes his pastors. A person has a degree in religion. I'm glad you do. I'm glad whatever university you went to gave you that piece of paper that said you had that many hours to study religion, but that got nothing to do with God. All right? God's ministers and pastors are ordained and set up by him, just like what Paul is telling us right here. So we read that again from the top, please. Because you made a minister according to the dispensation of God, according to what God hands out, not according to what a university, a theological school hands out, but according to what God actually dispenses. What God and that dispensary, as far as CBD oil or cannabis or what have you, but what God actually dispenses is how God makes his ministers. Go ahead.
It's given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
Now, it tells you God's going to dispense this wisdom, this knowledge, understanding to fulfill God's word, to fulfill the prophecies that God said were going to happen. Read.
Even the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations.
Because there's a mystery that's been hidden for ages and generations. Now, we think about it. From the discovery of America, we've been taught that, now I'm going to go here, not to step my toes purposefully, but the image that we have of Jesus Christ being a Caucasian, being a European, where is that biblically or historically correct, the image that has been given to us throughout, from, again, the age of discovery? That image has been forced upon us, and for many people gotten tattoos on their bodies. They pray to it every night when they bow their head, they either eat a meal before a meal or before they go to sleep. That image is in their head. But where has that been proven biblically that that is the proper image or that's the true image? Matter of fact, when we deal with that, what religion was Jesus? That we're going to go there. So all the different, if you do a Wikipedia search, you'll find there's over 14,000, I'm sorry, 41,000, forgive me. There's over 41,000 different Christian denominations, according to Wikipedia. And this is from a search from 5 years ago. 41,000 different religions claiming Christ as their, that they're worshiping Christ. How the hell can you have 41,000 different religion, denominations claiming Christ? I'm not talking about Buddha. I'm not talking about Krishna. I'm not talking about Taoism. People claiming to be worshiping Jesus Christ, over 41,000 different religions. That's got to tell you something. That's got to tell you that, hold on. There's something off here, but there's a mystery that's been here for ages, every generation. Mainly the discovery of the Americas, when religion was brought to the Western Hemisphere, that we were not taught the Bible. We were taught religion. And by the way, when you do the etymology, the word origin, the word root of the word religion means to hold back, keep down, and restrain. God never gave man religion. God gave man his commandments. God gave us his laws. He never gave us religion. Religion has been used to hold us back, keep us down, and keep us away from the truth, the word of God. So there's a mystery that's been here for ages and for generations. Go ahead.
But now it's a benefit to his faith.
And think about it. In most of our families, if your family happens to be Catholic right now, why are they Catholic? Most likely because your grandmother was Catholic. And why was your grandmother Catholic? Because her grandmother was Catholic. Going all the way back, or Jehovah's Witness, or Baptist, or Methodist, or whatever it might be. And where did this all begin? With the age of the discovery of the Americas. Whether it was 1400s, when Columbus and Merton Incorporated got over here, or it was with 1619, when the first slave ships came to the Americas. That this is where we got religion from. But we did not get it from the Bible, because you can't read Jehovah's Witnesses nowhere in the Bible. John the Baptist is nowhere in the Bible. I mean, he's in the Bible, but he didn't know about a Baptist church. The word Methodist means method. Again, there was never a Methodist anywhere in the Bible. you can't find Episcopalian. The word epistle means letter. And Paul wrote letters to the Jews, to the Israelites, that was scattered throughout the known world at the time. That wasn't a religion, but it got turned into a religion. Epistle means letter. You actually, you look these up. I'm not just talking on top of my head. The word epistle means letter. And these are the letters that Paul wrote to these different Israelites in all these different areas that people came back now and made religion and made churches. And it had nothing to do with what God's instructions were. It had nothing to do with God's prophecies or anything. So we, to be able to come back now and say this mystery that's been here from ages and from generations, reading on. But now this mystery is being made manifest to his saints. Now let's use the Bible to break down the Bible. Who are God's saints? Because many of us might be familiar with St. Mary. Some of us live in San Antonio, which is St. Anthony. There's a city in Africa called, New Mexico called Santa Fe, which is St. Francis. There's Santa Ana. There's San Felipe. All these are different saints. But who are God's saints? Well, let's use the Bible and God's word to find out what, who God says his saints are. Let's go to Psalms chapter 148, verse 14. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 148, verse 14.
Psalm
148, verse 14.
He also exalts a horn to the people.
Now, to exalt something means to raise it up. All right, to exalt something means to raise it up. When a horn is a metaphor for power. Like if you look at a rhinoceros, where's his power at? In his horn. If you look at a deer antlers, where's their power at? It's in those horns. So a horn represents power. So this is all a metaphor right here saying that God's going to exalt or raise up the horn or the power of his people. We are very unfamiliar with the power of God. When I say the power of God, I'm not talking about just because you woke up in the morning. I'm talking about the power of God is God's righteousness. God's truth is his power. That's the power of God's people. We're going to try and get into this a little bit tonight also. So he said he's going to exalt the horn or the power of who? Of his people. He didn't say all people. He's going to exhort the power of his people in this modern world. In this modern world, in this modern world, you can use whatever power source you choose to achieve in this modern world. And in this modern world, for a lot of people who might know the Bible, be familiar with the Bible, wasn't Christ tempted by Satan? Yes, he was. He was actually tempted by Satan. And one of Satan's temptations was that if a person wanted power, wealth, fame, or glory in this present world, then all they had to do was worship Satan, worship the adversary. Because he said everything that's in this world is given into his hand. Real quick, give me Galatians 1 and 4. Hold where we at. Give me Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Yeah, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4.
Galatians chapter 1 verse
4. Yes, sir.
Who gave himself for our sins.
And Christ is the one who gave himself for our sins. Go ahead.
That he might deliver us from this present evil world.
That this present world we're living in, according to the Bible, is what? It's evil. It's an adversary. That's what the word Satan means. The word Satan means adversary. This world, this modern world, is an adversary or an enemy against God. In this world, you have same-sex marriages. That's against God. in this world, you can have, you can, pork, for those who might be a little bit older, pork is the other white meat. But the, that's against God. In this world, shrimp, crab, lobster, escargot, caviar are delicacies to be eaten and if you're really living quote unquote high off the hog, that these are the type of meals you should be eating. Snow crab. If we want to get to sexuality, yeah. But just in the food, that it goes against God. It goes against God's plan. So in this present evil world, this present world, when we read the Bible, it's evil. So, and again, in this world, as long as you go against God, you have a free will, you have a free, you're free to do what you like, when you like, how you like, have it your way. All the taglines for most of my major industry, I'm loving it. If it feels good, do it. That's Nike. I just gave it away. Just do it. That these type of monikers are everywhere you look, encouraging people that to follow your dreams, follow your what have you. That as long as it feels good to you, it's okay. You should have the freedom to do that. Even have sex change operations. And all these are against God. So it says in this present evil world, because in this evil world, you can prosper in this world if you go against God. I'm not saying everybody who prospers is going against God, but it's more likely than not, if you really want to become a rap star, it's almost mandatory you're going to have to get your tattoos, which is what? Against God. If you want to be an entertainer, you got to be a little sugar in your tank, or be able to walk on the dark side. Whatever you need to say or use, whatever, put on a woman's dress, eyelashes, makeup, or what have you. That there's got to be some type of dedication to something that's against God. What, say it again?
It's not a documentary, but like a long video about it. He's Freemason. Basically meaning that you do what you want, but what that is Satanism in itself, what the time say it's satanic.
Right.
Going against God regardless. And he's got Beyonce in it, he's got friends and family in it, he's been in it our life. You can tell like whenever they want to get that success that they're wanting to get, they have to completely do some. They have to go into some weird shit behind the scenes that they don't ever talk about. The way that they're on,
right?
Like 4G, like Satanism, like the fucking what do you call them? Fucking Illuminati, whatever it is, just to sustain that like wealth status,
or even to maintain it, yeah.
And then but the ones that are doing it, like, they like J. Cole. Not say like J. Cole. He's famous, but you don't ever hear from him like that. Versus like you hear Kanye, Jay-Z, everybody, like every day.
Right.
Like this and that. And you hear, oh yeah, they're also in fucking sex trafficking clubs, whatever it is, because that's what they have to do to obtain that wealth. Versus some people don't have to do that, but they're not.
And similar to that, you hear about a lot of people have just one hit wonders. That they get them, they try to get them used to that lifestyle. Try to get them used to having that lifestyle, and then once you know the concerts, the parties, the wealth, the luxuries that they're able to experience that they've never experienced before, then it comes with that price. Now, if you want to maintain this, what are you willing to do? And in order to maintain this, then you need to come back and do this type of ritual, do this, that, whatever, or whatever. And this is why you have a lot of people with the one-hit wonders. They're like, no, I'm not willing to, I wasn't willing to continue or go into what they required. I wasn't willing to go into the depth of commitment that was required. And that's why I became just called a one-hit wonder, whether it was an acting or what have you. Because there's a price. There's a price. So we understand that in this modern world, this money world is evil. It doesn't really go against the Most High. It's really self-indulgent, as me and Bajra had to talk to today. This world really provides you the avenue to be self-indulgent, which is totally against God. It's funny because when you read the Satanic Bible, the number one holiday in the Satanic Bible is birthdays. That's the number one holiday because it's all about celebrating yourself. It's elevating yourself as a God. It's elevating yourself as what have you, which is crazy to think about. It seems so harmless, but it's really against God. But getting back now to Psalms 148, verse 14.
He also exalted the horn of his people.
So God is going to exalt the horn or the power of his people, which is his righteousness. Go ahead.
The praise of all his saints.
And he's going to exalt the praise of his saints, that his people are his saints. Read.
Even of the children of Israel.
And who are the saints then?
The children of Israel.
So when we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, it told us what?
God set the rule.
That was verse 25. I'm asking about verse 26. That he's going to reveal this mystery to his saints. And now the saints are his people who are the children of Israel.
When he says, when he 26, he's talking about what even the mystery which has ages from generation to now manifest. So, like you said, it's not just going to boom, everybody can know, but like later down the line, more and more people are going to keep, the children are going to keep learning, and then keep growing until everyone at that point.
Exactly. And that's why one of the biggest things that the Most High is looking for right now is teachers. He's looking for people who are actually going to teach his way, his righteousness, in the midst of a wicked and perverse and corrupt world. Who's going to actually show people the right way? That's the time that we're actually living in right now, that's what he's looking for. Getting back now to the scripture a little bit, let's now go to how is God going to reveal this mystery? Let's go to Romans 16:25. Again, this is why it's so important that brothers and sisters really be studying and really be putting this together, because we have to show people God's word. We have to. Yep.
Romans 16, verse 25. Not to him that is of power to establish according to my gospel.
Now, the word gospel means good news. Now, just like we were talking about in Colossians, that God raises up his ministers. God raises up his pastors according to what God gives out. All right? Here it's saying what? From the top.
Verse 25. Not to him that is of power. Not to him that is of power. That is you according to my gospel.
That now we might be established according to the true gospel. Established means to be rooted, firm. You know what you're talking about. And it's not because you had a dream, you had a vision, you had a feeling, you had an omen. But now you can actually be established through God's word. You can actually be established and know what you're talking about. You can be established and know that you're not talking just out the side of your neck. Read.
And the preaching of Christ. According to the revelation of the mystery.
According to what?
The revelation of the mystery.
According to the revealing. Just like the word manifest. The revealing of the what?
Of the mystery.
Of the mystery. The mystery is, who did Christ come for? Who is Christ? Is there a chosen people? And what is their purpose? That is the greatest mystery. Read.
which was kept secret since the world began.
It says this mystery's been kept secret since when?
The world began.
Now, this ain't talking about the world as far as like when God first said, let there be light. The mystery is talking about the world. How do I say this? When Europeans first discovered America, what do they call it?
The New World.
They call it the New World. So there's a New World. That means there must have also been an old world. All right? For America to be a superpower, a place like Ghana would be considered a what? I'm trying to figure out how to get the right word. They would call it a third world country. What's an example of a third world country? Timbuktu. Okay, what else?
There's no modern civilization.
Right. So they would consider that a third world country, right?
Yeah.
So just like they consider that a third world country, or and there's many different worlds, even in the Bible, there's more than one world in the Bible. When it says here, even the mission has been here for ages, since the world began, it's talking about since this new world. It's only been here that it's been here from us with the Israelites. It's been here from us our true purpose. It's been here from us why God created us and what our mission is. We've been on the biggest hunt trying to figure out what's my God-given purpose. What's my God-given gift? What's my God-given talent? And we've wasted so many generations of people trying to answer that one question because we haven't known what did God make me for. So again, today you got people that are transgender thinking that I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. Where do you get that from? You get it because a mystery has been hid from you. You don't realize you're a Hebrew Israelite. You don't realize what your true purpose is. You don't realize what God created you for. So, again, we can read that scripture one more time. Tell everybody where you're at.
Romans chapter 16, verse 25.
Yep.
Nothing that is of power, that is you, according to my God, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began.
And again, that world ain't talking about since the when God said let it be light, but since this new world began, the American. Go ahead.
Before he said, but now it's made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophet.
But now it says this mystery has been made manifest by what?
The prophet.
Before that?
The scriptures.
By the what?
By the scriptures.
By the scriptures. Now these mysteries are being revealed by the scriptures. This is why it's so important that we do study. This is why it's so important that teachers get raised up, that can walk people through this Bible to show them God's word, to show them these mysteries that have been here for ages and for generations, of why people's grandparents and parents and great-great-great-grandparents never saw these things, never knew these things, never got these things, because there was a mystery that's been hid. But now this mystery is being made manifest by the scriptures. Go ahead.
According to the commandment of the everlasting God.
After scripture.
And by the scriptures of the prophets.
And by the scriptures of the prophets. Go ahead.
According to the commandment of the everlasting God.
According to the commandment of God. So this is why it's so important that we stick to the Bible, that we stick to the scriptures to get our understanding. Let's go to Amos chapter 8, verse 11, Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Chapter 8 and verse 11.
Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Everybody got it?
Read.
Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water. But hearing the word of the Lord.
So let's read that one more time.
Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the day is come, is the Lord.
So this is the prophecy given during the time of Amos. Amos was approximately, again, 400 years before Christ was even born. So from that time now, We're looking at what? Okay, this is 2020. About 2,500 years ago, 2,400 years ago, is when this scripture was first written. And this is what he was saying was going to happen from that time that Amos was talking, that he was writing this down. That what?
Praise the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a government of bread, nor a thirst for water.
That the famine that was going to come was not going to be a famine. What does it mean? What's a famine? Somebody becomes scarce. But it could be a lack of food. But here, the most high disorder is what? This famine ain't going to be a lack of food. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. The book of Amos chapter 8, verse 11. We read that again. Rejoin us. Amos chapter 8, verse 11, one more time.
Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water.
That this famine is not going to be a famine of bread. This famine is going to be a thirst for water.
Of the word.
Being able to tell you, you missed a lot of words.
Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water. But of hearing the words of the Lord.
But the famine is going to be of us hearing the words of God. I just didn't hear you.
That's the word from the word of God.
Yeah, we weren't going to be hearing God's word. That's why we celebrate things like Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. This is why we go to church on Sunday. This is why again, all the different religions that people are involved with. Can you find that word in the Bible? If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, can you find Seventh-day Adventist in the Bible? No. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, can you find Jehovah's Witness in the Bible? If you're a Methodist, can you find the word Methodist in the Bible? If you're a Mormon, can you find the word Mormon in the Mormon Bible? No. But we celebrate these things and worship these things because there's been a lack of hearing God's word. There's been a lack of hearing the actual scriptures. And this is the time we're living in now. But now we want to make sure. Now let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 3. Now let's go to the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 3.
Romans 3:3. For what if some do not believe?
What if some people don't believe what the scriptures are revealing now? What if some people just don't believe it? I don't believe that. My great 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 grandparents were this, and my was this, and I'm gonna be this, and my kids gonna be the same thing. I don't believe what that Bible says. I don't believe that part. It's kind of respected, but it's telling you that this is going to happen. So what if some people don't believe when we come back now, we actually show what the scripture says? We actually show what the Bible says. What if some don't believe? I don't believe that. Read.
Shall their unbelief make the faith of the Most High without effect?
Is that going to make God change because they don't believe? No. That's not going to make God change because they don't believe. Read.
Verse 4. Most High forbid. Yea, let the Most High be true.
Let the Most High, or let God be true. Go ahead.
But every man a liar.
And let every man be a liar, including me, myself. I am a liar. But guess what's not going to lie to you? The Most High, the words of the book. They're not going to lie to you. Yes. Well, the scripture says, let all men be what? So what am I? But the scripture doesn't lie. It will still make God true. I want people to call me a liar. You're right. I'm a fat, out of shape,
tooth missing, a fabulous feeling, man. Yeah. And I'm a liar. But guess what's not going to ever lie to you? The Most High's word. And I stress that. Don't get caught up in man. That's what too many people do. They get caught up into a man and not God's word. And because I was going to use another word. Man, please. When it comes to God's word, they fall off. Now they want to associate God's word with that person. You can't do that. God already said, let every man be a liar. Why you feel for his words? Why you feel for his talk? Why you feel for all the smoke and mirrors? If you want something that's true, that's not going to lie to you, what's the one thing that is true that is not going to lie to you? The Most High's word. So why did you choose to lean and trust in something else? You should be trusting in what the book says. Because it's going to be the words of this book that you get judged by and get saved by. Not by what some man says. Are we good on this? So, every man be a liar, but let what?
Let the Most High be true.
Let God's word be true, and every man be a liar. It's not about man. What does God say? And that's why, again, the beauty of being able to open this Bible up to see what the book actually has. Since we're in Romans 15 and 4.
Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning.
Things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Read.
That we, through patience and comfort of the what? Scriptures.
Read.
Might have hope.
Then now my hope is going to be in, and now I'm going with the scripture says. Now I have a faith in what the scripture says. Because now I can see it. I can actually read it. This is what God, if God said this 3,000 years ago and it's coming to pass, then who called the shot? Shouldn't I believe that then? If it's happening the exact same way you said it was going to happen, that's something I can believe in. That's something I can hold on to. That's something I can count on. As opposed to somebody just come up with some philosophy now, that's played. So things written aforetime, they were written for our learning. Now let's get St. John 7:38. Or John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
He
that
believeth on me, as the scripture has said.
Christ that believe on him, how?
As the scripture.
Now, this is the wordplay we used to always do, especially when the street teaching. As your mom said.
As the scripture.
As your dad said. As Kendrick Lamar says. As Lil Wayne says. As, I don't know, the president says. We should believe on Christ how? As the scripture has said. Read. That's where the life's going to come from, is we go by what the scripture says. Not by what some man says. Not by what anybody says. But by what the scripture says. That was 7:38. Now give me St. John 5:39. Yep. Do what? Do what? Search your heart. Search your mind. Yeah, search out an herbalist. Go drink some whatever. Search the scriptures. Read. Yeah, that's 5:39.
Search the scriptures. For in them.
For in what?
For in the scriptures.
In the scriptures, go ahead.
He thinks you have eternal life.
That's where you're going to actually think about eternal life. From what the scripture says. That's where you're going to get the true proper picture of how to achieve and get eternal life. Through the scriptures. How to get closer to God. how to do things the right way through the scriptures, not through a feeling, not through your heart, not through a dream, not through, well, my mom said it, so it must be true. No, do what the scripture said. Read.
And they are they, which testify of me.
And what is Christ using to testify about himself? What did you read? And they are they. The they being?
Search
the what? The scriptures. Go ahead. In what? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They being? The scriptures. Go ahead.
They are they.
And what's going to testify about Christ? The scriptures. We're all good. The scriptures is what's going to testify about Christ. If somebody wants to give a testimony, they'll need me to hear about how you woke up this morning and there was a blue jay and a butterfly came and landed on your shoulder and let you know it's going to be a great day. I don't need that testimony. Give me the scriptures. Give me what the scripture said. Give me what the scripture says is going to happen. What the scripture says did happen. Give me what the scripture says, because that's what's going to give me eternal life. Not your best wishes, not your darkest dreams, not your darkest what have you. Are you scratching or? Okay. You know, I can't speak good, so that's why. So the scriptures testify about Christ. That's why we got to stick to the scriptures. St. John
832.
Now, Sean's doing proper because before you read, what are you supposed to already have done?
Thank God. And ye shall know the truth.
And you shall know what?
The truth.
Yeah.
And the truth shall make you free.
Now, what is the truth? What, how do we prove that? St. John chapter 17, verse 17. So, what is the truth? God's word is the truth. So, when it says in St. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, meaning now we should know what?
His word.
His word, the scriptures. And now the scriptures are going to do what? Set us free. What are we going to be set free from? If I don't call my mom on Mother's Day, I can be free from what? The guilt of all the days of the year, I didn't call you on this one day, and now I'm, no, hell no. I'm free for that. One, that ain't got nothing to do with God. I didn't call you on your birthday. I can be free from your guilt or your whatever, because you know what? God didn't my birthday.
I called it the day before, but not
five. Mm-hmm.
When
the rest of the world is doing it.
Thank you.
You'd be amazed how much your memory increases when you write stuff down.
I can't lie, no, it's scary.
Yep.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and proof or correction or instruction in righteousness. That all the man of God
that
is perfect, furnished unto all good work.
Thoroughly furnished.
Thoroughly.
Being thorough. When I go bring up the astigmatism that you've been suffering with from fourth grade? Yeah, it is. When I even go there, thoroughly furnished unto what?
Thoroughly furnished unto all good work.
That now a person can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Going back to Isaiah 34:16. So we're looking for answers. Where should the person be searching for the answer? In the book of the Lord, in the Bible. And they should be doing what?
Reading.
They should be seeking out the book of the Lord, and they should be reading. And if you consider this now, but from the age of discovery, how many so-called natives were not allowed to learn how to read and write English? So how were they able to know? How could they fulfill this scripture right here if they were never taught how to read and write? And for how many generations were we kept illiterate? To where the only, our only connection with God was through singing. It was through hymns. It was never to the point where we actually pick up the book and actually read it. Now, as we started to learn how to read, how many centuries now have we already been indoctrinated with this other philosophy, with this other way of looking at things, so that now even when you read the book, I don't know what that means. You're right, and we're about done. So Isaiah 34:16 tells us what? And read. It's time to get the book out and actually read. Go ahead. If you want answers to like God does this, God does that, the scriptures are not going to fail you and let you know what God's plans are. Read. And there's no other book you're going to be able to match to the Bible if you want God's opinion, God's perspective, God's way of looking at things, like what the Bible does. Go ahead.
For my mouth did have commanded, and his spirit did have gathered them.
And God's spirit gathered the words and these prophecies together in his book called the Bible. That's why, now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. And 21. Do what? When you're dealing with the God of the Bible, God of the Bible says do what? You should be able to, scripture should be able to prove what you're saying. If you're saying God is black, you should be able to prove that. If you're saying God don't love everybody, you should be able to prove that. You're saying God, Jesus Christ come back and save the Baptist. You should be able to go and prove that using the scriptures. If you can't do that, the type of God that's in this book, rather you be quiet. Because all men are liars. God is true. So the God of this book, the God of the Bible says, prove all things. If you're saying, color don't matter, prove it. If you're saying God didn't create nations, men created nations. Prove it. Prove it then. God sees everybody as one. Prove it then. I'm sorry? Real quick, Genesis 10:32 says what though? 10:32.
These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation and their nation. And by these were the nations divided earth after the flood.
And by these were the nations what? So God divided the nations. Like Deuteronomy 32 and 6. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 6. Verse 4.
Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His word is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without equity, iniquity, just and right is he.
Read.
Verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a reserved and crooked generation.
They are what?
Perverse and crooked generation.
Okay, all right. Go ahead. Read. Verse 6. Right, verse 7.
Remember the days of old.
And what does God say do?
Remember the days of old.
Read.
Years of
and we use this scripture here when people say, well, those are Bible times. Well, what does God say do? They remember the days of old. Read.
Consider the
years of many generations, how God did things, and man has corrupted themselves. Read.
Ask my Father, and he will choose you. And show you. So.
Now, spell it.
My elders.
Spell it.
And they will tell you.
Go ahead.
When the Most High divided
the
nation, their inheritance.
When the Most High did what? When he divided to the nations their inheritance. He didn't keep everybody as one. When he divided to the nations their inheritance. Read.
He found him in the when he separated the sons of Adam,
he did what?
He separated
the
sons of Adam.
Who separated the sons of Adam? Even though we all come from Adam, what did God do? He still separated us. Read.
He set the vows of the people's according to the number of the children.
Then nobody got their inheritance until it was already understood what Israel was going to get. The inheritance is their land. The China man got China. Japanese man got Japan. Korean man got Korea, East Indian man got East India. They got their women. They got their culture. They all got their inheritance. And God separated everybody so they didn't have their different inheritance, their different cultures. But they didn't get none of their land or anything until it was already understood that the land of Israel, the best land on the planet, was going to be given to the Israelites. God showed the people. But that's just, to knock that out real quick. Let's get Psalms. Captain, I'm sorry, we didn't finish 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And then the second part? Mm-hmm. Yep. So after you prove everything with the scriptures, what should you do? Once you prove that it's good, hold on to it. Once it matches the scriptures, you hold on to that. Everything else, let it go. All right? Psalms chapter 33 and verse 12.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Blessed is the what?
The nation whose God is the Lord.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God's only the God of one nation. Right? And the people that he chose for his own inheritance. God has a chosen people. He has a chosen nation. Matthew chapter 25, verse 32.
Verse 25, verse 32. Before him, son of God,
Well, I'm sorry, what verse is that? Start 31. Who's the Son of Man? Do y'all know? Right, it's Christ. So when Christ is going to come in his what? In his glory. Read. And when he comes, who's going to be with him? All the holy angels. So some nut talking about that he's Jesus and he got all the angels with him. Guess what you know?
Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations.
And before Christ, when Christ comes back, what's going to happen? He's going to gather all the nations together. Go ahead.
And he shall separate them.
And he's going to do what?
Separate them.
No, he's going to keep everybody as one. No, because God's goal for mankind is that we all finally see that we're all just one. We all got red blood. We're all part of one race. That's the human race. You need to join us in the human race. He's going to do what?
Separate them.
Go ahead. One from another. Read.
As a shepherd divides sheep from the goats.
That.
And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left.
He's going to set the sheep where?
On his right hand, but the goats on his left.
All right, let's get Matthew 10, 5, and 6. Who are the sheep that are going to be set on his right hand? Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, yeah.
He drove Christ just forth and commanded them, saying, go not to the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
So who are the sheep?
No.
The house of Israel. They're the ones that are going to be set on his right hand. The Israelites. When he comes to separate the nations one from another. Let's go to Jeremiah. Chapter 50 and verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 17.
Jeremiah, I got verse 17. Okay. Okay. Israel is a scattered sheep.
What is Israel?
A scattered sheep.
And again, when you go throughout the scriptures, the sheep of God are the Israelites. So when Christ comes back, he's going to have all nations gathered before him, and he's going to separate them one from another. He's going to set the sheep on his what? We read it in Matthew
25:32. Mm-hmm. Shall be gathered nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd by his sheep. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left.
So the sheep represents our who? The Israelites. They're going to be in his right hand, and the goats are going to be on the left. Read. And who are the ones on his right hand? The Israelites. Go ahead.
Come ye, blessed my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
So the kingdom that's prepared for the foundation of the world is for who? The Israelites. All right? So when we read Psalms chapter 33 verse 12, it told us what?
Blessed the nation whose God is the Lord.
Blessed that nation whose God is the Lord. What nation did God choose? The Israelites. Read. No, Psalms. I thought you was on it. 33:12.
Such is the nation who God has ordered. And the people he has chosen for his own inheritance.
And the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. Let's get First Chronicles, Old Testament. First Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 21.
First Chronicles, 17, verse 1.
21.
And what one nation in the earth, is like thy people Israel.
Again, and what one nation in the earth is like thy people who? Israel. Read. And he's made the Israelites to be his own people. Go ahead. So how did God make Israel great? He killed other nations for us. What happened to the dark black Egyptians? They were put to death in the Red Sea. For who? For us. The Africans that were that was squatting in our land while we was captive in Egypt. What happened to them? They was either put to death or they became our slaves. He drove out nations from before us. He put people in the dirt for us. Go ahead.
From before thy people, thou hast
indeed thy people.
For what? For thy people Israel. Then? Didst thou make thine own people forever?
He made the Israelites to be his own people for how long?
Forever.
Forever. Go ahead.
Make thine own people forever. And thou, the Lord, became their God.
And God became what?
Became their God.
Became their God, the God of the Israelites. So that one nation that God has chosen of all the nations is blessed. That chosen people is blessed because God chose them to be his people. God chose them. God chose to be their God. And let me get that real quick also. Last scripture then. It probably is over. Verse 27, I'll be the last one. What's your name? Or Joel, whichever you prefer. Chapter 2, verse 27. I think it says Joel. She says Joel. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 27.
Come on, 2, verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none other. And my people shall never be ashamed.
So what is God proclaiming right here? And that I am the Lord your God, and none else. We'll end it with that. Any questions? Statements? Comments?
Who plays with you?